Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time right now to bring in CBS Sports and Westwood One's Clark Kellogg to talk about NCAA March Madness. Clark's appearances throughout the tournament are brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, number one in ladders. Clark, Taz of the Moose, thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, good morning, Taz Moose. We're winding down, man, from 68. We're down to 4. Man, it happens fast.
Yeah, it certainly does. And there's a lot to get into. And we got everyone anticipated Kansas and Duke being a great game, Clark. And really, it fulfilled everyone's expectations.
No doubt. You know, I was thinking about it as I was heading home last night. You know, we started the bracket of 64 with an overtime game. Oklahoma, URI, Rhode Island. Terrific way to start the 64-team bracket. Obviously, we had the first four before that. And then to conclude the final four setup, we go Kansas, Duke, OT. I mean, come on. And then everything we've had in between has been what we expect from the tournament and more this season. So it's been fun, really fun. And I think we've got two terrific matchups for the final four in San Antonio. I mean, Michigan and Loyola, very similar teams in how they play, and obviously Kansas, Villanova, pretty good small ball teams, if you will. So I'm looking forward to it.
So hey, say Clark, man. So what's the deal? What do you think out of these four squads?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Best defense. Tell me.
Best defense? Wow, I would probably lean Michigan.
That's what I'm thinking.
I would lean Michigan because they've got pretty good physicality on the perimeter, but not by much.
Mm.
I think Nova does a good job. They've gotten better. Even Kansas has improved. But I would probably give Michigan the nod in terms of overall defensive prowess amongst these four.
And that was, I mean, if we go back to their regional final matchup against Florida State, number one, that's the reason why Michigan's playing in San Antonio, because they did not shoot the ball particularly well. Florida State was able to hang in. It was their ability to defend for John Beilein that got them through Florida State. What was your take? Taz and I discussed it earlier, Clark. What was your take on Hamilton not fouling late and then his interaction with Dana Jacobson after the game?
Well, I think it was handled. It could have been handled better, both situations. Again, I've never coached, but it seemed to me as though that was an opportunity to foul. But after hearing Leonard's rationale and his explanation, they were attempting to foul a certain player or two or three, and Duncan Robinson was not one of those guys. I could see that, although I would have still fouled just to see if you get some type of miracle opportunity. Clearly, he was not ready for the question that Dana asked, which she had to ask, and I thought she did a fantastic job in handling it in the heat of the moment. And then after you have a chance to digest it and revisit it from all sides, I think we got to a good place. But clearly, I was surprised there wasn't a foul, even if it wasn't the guy that you want or one of the guys you wanted to foul from a shooting percentage standpoint. Still, with that amount of time, it's a one-possession game at most. Well, it's a two-possession game down four, and it would have stayed a two-possession game at that point if you foul, and even if both free throws are made. So I thought it would have been a time to foul, but Leonard's rationale is what it was, so I can't argue that too strongly either.
All right, let's move to the early game on Saturday. And how about Loyola Chicago? They march on. Wonderful story. Sister Jean, 98 years of age, as she now and Loyola Chicago march on to San Antonio. But, Clark, I know they were 11 seed. Taz and I discussed it earlier. They're a really good basketball team. I mean, they share
they're
the ball.
Terrific.
Great offensively. They understand the dynamic of team. I mean, everyone that said this was going to be a dangerous team has proved out to be correct. I mean, they did not get here with smoke and mirrors. They're a really good team.
Not at all. And you've made all valid points. And, again, I highlighted this team a little bit as the bracket came out. I love the way they play. They understand who and what they are. They're really an outstanding passing and shooting team. The issue has been a little bit, they've turned it over a little more than normal during the tournament, and that's been a minor issue, but they've overcome it with tremendous ball movement, passing, shot making, and obviously they've had a number of timely big shots late.
Right.
But the way they performed in the game against Kansas State, I mean, they were a well-oiled machine and pretty much controlled that game throughout the second half. K-State made a little run. But, no, they're fun to watch, and they're a legitimate Final Four team, obviously. And they're good. They're really good. Now, Michigan is very similar to them with a little more size, but size disadvantages haven't seemed to thwart this team thus far, and I don't think it'll be a huge advantage for Michigan in this game. I think Loyola will stand up well and have a strong chance to win the game.
I was just fixing to ask you that, but you just answered it. If they had a shot, Loyola Chicago against Michigan.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I want to ask you something else about Loyola Chicago. We were talking, Clark, Moose and I earlier, and I brought up the fact that this type of success that the Ramblers are having on a mainstream level, on the main dance floor here, mm-hmm. and they're kicking butt, taking names, as we know. This has got to help them on a lot of levels, from a resources perspective, meaning stuff on campus, from weight room stuff, maybe locker room and donors, money. Also, getting top recruits, right? If you're an eighth grader who's a legit player or a freshman in high school that's legit, you're looking at Loyola Chicago as a place to go play some serious hoops.
Well, I tell you, the exposure that you get by making this kind of run has tremendous impact going forward. I mean, how it plays out specifically in those areas that you highlighted, I think there will be some carryover. It's hard to know exactly how much, but when you talk about captivating young fans, captivating potential recruits, and again, the school is a unique school. It's a private school, so it's a unique school in that regard. But it's in a great city, and this kind of run, again, raises the profile and the way they play, how they're coached, how together they are. I'm sure that would appeal to a lot of high-quality players that are going to have a chance to play in college.
We're talking to Clark Kellogg, CBS Sports College Hoops Analyst. What impresses you most about Nova, Clark?
Well, their overall balance offensively. The big guys can step out and make threes. Pascal, well, they're big, the guys who play along the front line for them, because they don't have great, great size on the roster, but they've got strength and athleticism and tremendous shot-making ability at all times from every position. And they, too, showed pretty good defensive resilience and grit in the game against Texas Tech, because they did not shoot it at their normal percentage rate and yet still found a way. They got to the line and made a bunch of – they're an excellent free-throw shooting team as well. So even though the perimeter shots weren't falling, they banged that offensive glass and drove the ball and got to the free-throw line. So the defense and winning the free-throw and rebounding games is what held Villanova up. And that, again, speaks to their versatility. But that offensive firepower at every position, I mean, when they've they rarely have somebody out there that can't make a three or drive the ball.
Yeah, you know, I was impressed with Clark off the bench for Nova was that kid DiVincenzo, man. Just that kid's all heart, man. I mean, break him down for me. I love that kid. He's great.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's been really good since last year, actually. I think he's a redshirt sophomore.
Okay.
Has tremendous athleticism, sneaky athleticism, great range. And again, they put five guys out there typically that can pass, catch, dribble, and shoot. And that puts a lot of constant pressure on you defensively, and it creates those rebounding lanes. They got to the offensive glass because they spread Texas Tech out so much that it's really hard to defend the three-point line from three or four different positions and then get back into the paint to block out and chase down rebounds. And a lot of times the long rebounds are going to give the offensive team a great chance to pull those in.
You know, and if you look at that Kansas victory, we mentioned it, to be plus 15 on the glass against Duke and their size, I think that stat says a lot about why the Jayhawks were able to march on. They had to hit big shots, no question. Other guys needed to step up. But to do that job on the glass as a team against that Duke team, that's surprising.
No, exactly. And I thought they had a terrific opportunity to win if they competed on the glass and did what they did, what they normally do in terms of shooting the ball. And they were dominant on the glass, as you indicate. I thought they did a terrific defensive job on Bagley, and Wendell Carter got into some foul trouble. But they're aggressive, fast, double teams, and their rotations out of those were a big part of how they were able to keep Duke under wraps. Duke didn't have the significant advantage points in the paint. I don't have a final box in front of me, but I know it was pretty much tit for tat points in the paint. That was a win for Kansas if you looked at the matchup. And then you knew they were going to be able to get the perimeter shot going because they've made, on average, 10 or 11 of those a game. And if they get good ones, they're going to make a good percentage. And they made some key ones, too. Malik Newman was fantastic. Steve McKay Luke hit the big one to tie it up. And the Jayhawks move on. And, you know, they won their last national title in 2008 in San Antonio.
There you have it. So, Clark, sum it up for me, man. Grayson Allen's career at Duke. Talk about it.
Yeah, you know, he had a great coming out party his freshman year when they came from behind. He actually was the catalyst for them winning the national championship against Wisconsin in 15. I thought he had a terrific sophomore season. And then his junior year was bumpy. He was injured. He wasn't fully healthy. Had some incidents on the floor that brought him a lot of negative publicity. And his senior year with a group of freshmen was good, but not as good as I think he anticipated or expected to be on a personal level and a team level. He felt like, I'm sure they felt like they had a chance to get to San Antonio. But a good career, good career. I would say good plus. Not great, but good plus. And he obviously had a tremendous impact on that program over the last 4 years. He leaves with a national championship and some nice personal accolades. So I would say a good plus career. And he's got a nice future ahead of him as an NBA player, I think.
Hey, Clark, we'll close out here, and you're going to join us next on Thursday at 8:25 to kind of break down the both matchups that we're going to see on Final Four Saturday. But as we ramp up the coverage and the expectations to the Final Four, can you see any of these four winning the national championship?
Oh yeah, I could certainly see it. I mean, you would have a pecking order of favorites, but I mean, the Kansas Villanova game is a toss up, and I think the Michigan Loyola game is close to that. I really do believe that because these kids from Loyola have shown they're tough, they're physical, they're smart, they shoot it, they share it. I mean, they do all of the things that you need to do to win, and they're not going to be overwhelmed by whoever they end up matching up with. If they're able to beat Michigan and then whoever's on the other side, they won't be overwhelmed or afraid at all. They'll compete and compete at a high level. So, yeah, I really believe that all four of these teams have a legitimate shot. I don't think there's any significant gaps between these teams. Now, Kansas, with its experience shooting and the way they've started to play inside, Silvio DeSosa has come in, and he's given them a nice lift off the bench as another big guy to go along with Azubuike. That's a pretty formidable two-man center position, and then you know what they've got on the perimeter. And so, no, I think we're looking at four pretty evenly matched teams, with Loyola maybe being the non-brand name, but certainly in terms of basketball ability, they're right on par with these teams that they're going to be at the Final Four with.
Well, Clark, we're looking forward to Thursday at 8:25.
Clark, we had a little piano ball. Where you at? You say you got a little jazz going on back there? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got my little playlist going.
Nice.
I got a mixture of
a little Joe Sample. Jazz. What do you got? A little Joe Sample going on there? A little Kenny G?
Yeah, yeah. We had Wayman Tiz. I do Apple Music, so they got my playlist based on my profile, and this morning we felt like the chill mix.
All right. Nice. Very relaxing, Clark.
I feel it, brother.
Very relaxing. We appreciate it, Clark, and we'll talk again on Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.